Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Ilya Meritz, filling in for Allison Stewart. Well, everyone knows it's been a tough year for New York City, which is exactly why the New York Public Library has decided to dedicate the month of December to programming celebrating the city. The initiative launched today, it's called Roar for NYC. The slate of programming includes events with Desus and Miro, New York-themed story hours for kids, and even a partnership with our friends at Gothamist to compile a love letter to New York. But the centerpiece of this whole thing is a special book list called 125 NYC Books We Love. The list features books for adults, kids, teens, works of poetry, history, LGBTQ plus identity, theater, and much, much more. All books that have a special connection to New York City. Get Lit with All of It is also a part of this special programming. Team All of It has chosen a novel from the library's list of New York City books. It's the acclaimed 1999 noir, Motherless Brooklyn by Jonathan Lethem. Allison and the team are excited that Jonathan will be joining them on January 7th for a special Roar for NYC Get Lit event. You can check out the full list of the library's book recommendations at nypl.org/nyc. And to borrow your copy of Motherless Brooklyn, head to wnyc.org. That's wnyc.org/get-lit. And here now to walk us through some of those 125 books that we love about New York City is Lynn Lobash, Assistant Director of Reader Services at the New York Public Library. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Call us now. Tell us what is your favorite New York book and why. The number to call is 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Lynn Lobash, welcome to All of It.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So one reason for this barrage of new programming is the 125th anniversary of the New York Public Library. Happy birthday to you. Can you tell us something about the
thank
birth?
You on behalf of the library.
I'm imagining you as a lion, a stone lion. Can you
you can do that when we're on the phone.
It's, it's great. Can you tell us something about the birth or the early years of the library?
I mean, so 125 years actually the birth date of the system, the branch system. So it's more than just the location that's on 5th and 42nd Street, which is the iconic one with the lions out front that you mentioned, wearing their masks currently. And it's really special because I think what makes the library such a unique institution here in New York City is that we are in every neighborhood. New York Public is in the Bronx, Staten Island, and Brooklyn. I mean, I'm sorry, Bronx, Staten Island, and Manhattan. And then, of course, there's Brooklyn and Queens, which are separate systems, which is confusing to everyone. But nonetheless, we have the entire city covered among the three systems.
Right. And anything from the early days? I mean, obviously, it wasn't the juggernaut that it is today with all this kind of advanced programming. It was much more about, I assume, about getting books to people who wanted to read when reading was one of the main forms of entertainment, not one among many.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, because the department that I work in is called Reader Services. And essentially, what we do is we talk to people about their reading interests, and then we make recommendations. And that used to be a service that was really popular. Like everyone knows about like reference interviews, where if you're writing a book, you go into the library and you talk with a reference librarian, and they help you through the archives and through the collections to find things that will be useful for you to create something new. But this sort of interview process and curation process used to go along with just pleasure reading. So people would come in and talk about books that they loved, and then the librarian would sit and listen and ask them questions about, you know, why they loved that, and then they would curate a set of books for the patron to take home with them.
So we're going to be talking in just a minute about our favorite New York City books. And as I mentioned, we can take your calls. I want to hear from you. So please call in, listeners. Share with us your favorite New York City books, why you love them. The number to call is 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. 7280. And before we do, though, Lynn, just give me an overview. Roar NYC. I assume the Roar is, in fact, inspired by the Stone Lions. What's the general idea?
Yeah. Right. Of course, we love a pun at the library, being word people. So yeah, you really did a great job of summing it up. It's a month-long campaign. It's called Roar for NYC, and there's a lot going on. Definitely something for everyone. A few things I'll mention. Again, there's 125 New York City books that we created, and that's got books for kids and for teens and adults, so we definitely check that out. We're doing these New York City themed virtual story times for kids. It's a series and it's called We're Readin' Here, another pun. We're doing virtual programming for grown-ups as well. We're working with Gothamist. As you said, I'm really excited about this. They're going to highlight a New York City-related item from our research collections, which will be really great because they're such a treasure of New York City items. And so it'll be fantastic for the public to get a little view into those collections. And then, of course, we're excited about Motherless Brooklyn. For those of you who missed it or read it like 20 years ago, like I did, it is such a fun book. It's, as Ilya said, it's a sort of hard-boiled detective fiction. It's set in Brooklyn's criminal underworld, and it features a detective with Tourette's syndrome. So it's really fun. NYPL has limitless copies available on our Simply E app for download. So if you haven't joined the book club that we do with Allison on this show, now's a really good chance to do so with a really fun book. I'm sure I missed a million other things that are going on, but please go to nypl.org/NYC and you can see all of it. Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, if you're looking for things to do, it's a really great idea to check that page.
All right, so let's talk about the 125 NYC books we love. I could imagine it would be hard to actually get it down to just 125, but I'm going to toss out a couple of titles from the list as I scroll through. We have Edith Wharton, The Age of Innocence, James Baldwin, Another Country, Chelsea Girls by Eileen Miles, the poet, The Chosen by Chaim Potok, Lunch Poems by Frank O'Hara, there's also poetry here, Low Life by Luc Sant, which is a nonfiction book. What, Lynn Lobash, what's like your number one book that's on this list?
Just to jump back just a little bit to say, like, you have no idea how hard it is to come up with a list of only 125 titles working where I work, because there are so many really prolific readers who are incredibly articulate about why their favorite book should be on the list. And I just
actually making the cuts was probably like a very vicious and unpleasant process.
It was no problem coming up. Yeah, 125 was way too few as far as the staff was concerned. But it just a quick shout out to my partner, Jason Bauman, who he's a curator in the research libraries, and he does a lot of selection for what we buy for the research collection. So he was an incredible asset. So some of my favorites, I would say I really love A Colossus of New York City by Colson Whitehead. I don't know if you've read it. It's this kind of collection of, it's not really an essay collection, it's a collection of like, just like maybe little vignettes or memories and anecdotes. And I think what makes it so special is it sort of gives a view of New York City, not only like an outside view of the city, but like an internal view of like what the city does to your psyche and the way that you look at the world. And I find that one really special. And you mentioned poetry. One of my all-time favorite books on this list is Poet in New York by Federico Garcia Lorca, which was published back in 1940. He wrote this collection of poems during a visit to New York City in about, I think, 1930, and it's just this incredible look back in time, and it's so loving, and it's just this, like, this outsider's, like, view of the city, and the way that he writes about it is just so full of, like, wonder and just, you know, appreciation and love. So those are two from the adult list that I love.
We have a tweet coming in from Amina, who says, The Little Red Lighthouse and The Great Gray Bridge, but I also admittedly loved Rules of Civility by Amar Towles. I don't know any of those books. Well, I guess The Little Red Lighthouse, but are any of those books on your list?
I don't know if Rules of Civility made the cut. Let me do a quick look here. I've forgotten like what actually made the cut. I think we might have lost it. We had
But it was in the running.
So It was definitely in the running. It was in the last of the running, and it is an amazing book. It's like sort of I think she's like a waitress, or no, she's a secretary, and she finds her way. She is in a bar in New York City, and she on New Year's, I believe, and she meets this like sort of upper socialite, wealthy New Yorker, and she gets drawn into this world. And I think it's set in, I want to say the 30s, but I could be wrong about it, but it's fantastic.
You know, I have to confess, I'm kind of a strange guy to be doing this interview, because I was looking at my own reading history. I keep a list on Goodreads, and almost none of the books that I read are set in New York. And I think it's because I live in New York, and I really like to travel when I read. I want my mind to go somewhere. And so the one book on your list that I can say I read the whole way through and loved, and this is going to make me sound like such a journalist, which I am, is The Power Broker by Robert Caro, which is... I mean, every journalist brags that they read it. I'm one of those.
You know what? It's funny, because I always feel about that book, like every time somebody says, oh, it has to go on this list, it has to go on this list. And I haven't read it, I will admit to that. I am like, oh, it's so long. Like, no one is going to want to read it. But I will tell you, like, you're not alone. Like, anyone who has made their way through that book cannot stop talking about it. They just, like, they love it. They think it should be on every single list, regardless of what the list is. And they just think it's the best thing in the world. So,
you know, if you've been thinking...
So there must be something there. I should get to it, obviously.
I can explain how to do it. If you've been thinking of reading The Power Broker, this is how you do it, or this is how I did it. Every Saturday or Sunday, but one of your weekend mornings when you don't really have that much to do, just make that be the first thing that you read in bed. Just like, do not get up and brush your teeth or make breakfast. Just like, spend the first 30 minutes, 40 minutes of your day with that book, and in like 9 months, you'll be done. It's great.
Hey, 9 months. That's not bad.
Something like that. We do have some recommendations coming in. David on Twitter says the New York Trilogy and Christ in Concrete. Hillel was driving, but he passed these along. Open City by Teju Cole, and any book by Mo Willems. And we can take your calls on New York books you love. The number is 646-435-7280. With Lynn Lobash from the New York Public Library. What did you discover making a list of 125 New York books that you maybe didn't know when you started with the list?
I mean, one thing that was hard to find was books about Staten Island. We did find a couple, but we had to really search. There's only a couple on this list. There's one that's a collection of short stories. I can't remember what it's called. It might be called Staten Island Stories. I believe it is. And then there's a couple that cover all five boroughs. Like, there's a Chinatown book on here that has Staten Island in it as well. But we really had to, search for Staten Island.
Once again, the stepchild of New York City. If somebody out there knows a great Staten Island novel or nonfiction or poetry book, call us. Tell us now, 646-435-7280. Well, that's too bad about Staten Island. That is a place that I would like to travel to in my imagination.
You know, probably now all of your callers will be like, this one, this one, this one. And we'll just be like, oh, we're so bad at list making. So maybe they'll make up for it.
What do you think are the great themes of New York literature? I mean, you sort of alluded to like what New York City does to you, which, you know, it can simultaneously kind of fuel your ambition and also beat you down. But what do you see as some of the other themes of writing about New York?
I mean, definitely art, right? Like, the list is purposefully varied. And we really wanted to be like, just like culturally rich. So we made sure, you know, that it wasn't just going to be fiction and nonfiction and history. It was going to have music. It was going to have poetry. It was going to have, you know, theater and, you know, LGBTQ culture. And it was going to be really diverse in terms of ethnicity and cultural identity. So that was really, you know, we didn't want it to be a sort of academic dry list. We wanted it to, one, have something for every reader, and also just sort of express like what a rich tapestry the city is, in all ways, interests, people, things to do.
All right. We have Richard on line 3 in Manhattan with his great New York book. Richard, you're on WNYC. Tell us, what's your favorite New York City book and why?
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to recommend Just Kids by Patti Smith. And I think it's just a great New York story because you have, she's a great writer, and it's just her early creative life with Mapplethorpe and the Village and the Chelsea Hotel and all these great places, and just so vividly described. So I really enjoyed that as a place.
I love that book too.
And you know what? Creatively.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, you know what I love about that book too, that I think it makes it so unique, is it's like, it's a biography about a friendship. Like, it's not a biography about a particular person, but it's about this relationship. And I had never, when I read that book, I had never read anything quite like it before. I mean, not to mention that her writing is just so effortlessly beautiful, but I will say it did not quite make the cut. It made right to the end, but we've put it on so many lists that we were like, okay, Patty, we were going to give a space to somebody else.
Let's go next to Lynn on line 1. Lynn, you're on All of It. What's your book?
Hey there. I would like to recommend Colm McCann's Let the Great World Spin.
Tell me about it.
It's mostly wrapped around Philippe Petit's walk between the World Trade Centers, but it's a real... polymath. It's a real collection of just all these lives in New York City that all kind of are happening at the same time. So it jumps around. It covers all kinds of lives in New York, and it really kind of it celebrates New York in so many ways. It's just a fabulous book. I love Colm McCann's writing.
And a New York that is both long ago and still within memory for many, many people. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Jane.
That book,
I
was just going to say, that book also has this lovely take, or it's got a real like 9/11 theme to it that's very subtle and very quiet and really beautifully done. I like how he described it as a polymath, because it really is just like this kind of kaleidoscope of a book. It's beautiful. I agree.
Let's hear from Jane in Cold Spring. Jane, you're on WNYC on All of It. What's your New York book?
Oh, hi. I live in Cold Spring now, but I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And when I was young, I read books about a family on Governor's Island written by Felicia Lamport. They were a series of books, and I always think that may be why I eventually moved to New York, because it was this family that lived on Governor's Island by Felicia Lamport.
These were children's
way
books?
Back. Yes.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
And what captivated you about the idea of Governor's Island?
I really don't know. I just loved the books. It was... I just loved them. I waited for them. I can remember standing in the library of my, back then it was called junior high, but now it's middle school, reading those books. I just loved them.
Thank you so much for your call. You know, I went to high school in New York City, and I had I think she wasn't a classmate. I think she was a year or two younger than me, but there was a girl at my high school who grew up on Governor's Island because her family, I think her dad was in the Coast Guard. And I remember feeling so captivated by the idea that you could grow up in this little island village in the middle of the harbor. But that is, Lynn, part of the magic of New York books, is that they can bring specific little neighborhoods to life.
Yeah, I also think that some of the other, like the other children's books, there's something really wonderful about, like, if you think about like the Mixed Up Files with Mrs. Basil Lee Frankenweiler, or even like Harriet the Spy, where these kids just have this, like, they're young kids, and they have, and this is like, you know, in times gone, but they have this agency, and they're just able to like explore New York, you know, on their own, and like run away to the Met and, you know, spy on their neighbors. And so I think there is something magical about it. And I will say, even when I go to Governor's Island with my own children, they're always like, wouldn't it be great if we could live here? So I think that's a universal wish.
Let's hear from Truman on line one. Truman, you're on WNYC. What's your favorite New York book?
Well, hello.
Hi.
I'm Truman, 9 years old. My mom really likes to listen to NPR, and I would like to share a book that NPR has shared already, but I think it would be a really good pick for some people, called Subway by John E. Morris, The Curiosity, Secrets, and Unofficial History of the New York City Transit System.
He's obsessed with the MTA.
Wow, so it's nonfiction, this book.
Yes, this book contains history and shows different things about the
history of the transit system. And the other cool thing, it does have a fictional component to it, because there are some outlandish stories about the subway, about things that happened while making it and things like that that are purely fictional, but most of it's nonfiction. And he's obsessed with the transit system.
Truman's
and this
mom?
Has been Yes, this is Truman's mama. And he's I got it for him for his 9th birthday because I heard about it on NPR, and he's obsessed. So it's a really great book. Pictures are lovely.
And I was about to ask, it must have good maps and pictures.
So, oh, lots of great pictures and old ads and things about scale. And
in fact, on page 134 and 135, it shows you it shows different models of train cars, such as the first one, the composite in the Gibbs, the first two.
That's perfect. That's great.
And
all right,
and
well, Truman and Truman's mom, I want to thank you for calling in. We got to get to a couple more calls because so many people have favorite New York City books now. Our lines are flooded, but we're going to check out that book about the subways. Let's hear next from Ben on line 10, and I believe Ben has an answer to the question of a great Staten Island book. So, Ben, what is it?
So, Netherlands by Joseph O'Neill takes place in Staten Island, and it's a wonderful book, and it talks a lot about Trinidadian immigrants and cricket in Staten Island.
Lynn, I can't believe we missed that, Ben. No, I do know that book. I'm so upset that we missed it. It would have been perfect for the list.
It was like 10 years ago, right? Yeah. It was a really popular book.
And I remember it. I remember the cricket. I didn't read it, but I remember it being about cricket and being like, oh, what a great subject. Oh, thanks so much. Sorry you're so late, Ben. maybe we'll sneak it in.
Ben, thank you for rescuing us on that, because I knew there had to be a great work of literature about Staten Island. I just didn't know what it was. All right, let's get to our last caller, Jamont on line 8. Jamont, you're on WNYC. Tell us about your favorite New York City book and why people should read it.
Oh, thank you very much. This is my first time calling. I'm very honored. My favorite book about New York
called Washington Square by Henry James. And
that's like a book that intimidates me. What do you love about it?
I'm sorry. And of course it's not recent, but I like it because it's about a daughter who has a relationship with an unemotional father, and then she tries to develop a relationship with a person who's only trying to use her for her wealth. And ironically, I had a fascination with the Greenwich Village area. And when I moved to New York, I had no idea that I would be moving to New York within 2 months of reading, having started the book. And the first place of residency for me was Washington Square. So I was really really, really pleased.
No kidding. Jamont, thank you for your
call.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, I was just going to say, the thing about the Henry James book, we had it on the list, and then the one parameter that we were using, or there were several parameters, but one of the parameters was it had to be published in the last 125 years, and Washington Square just fell right outside of that. So we did consider it, but then it lost due to that parameter.
No kidding. Well, Jamont, thanks for your call. Lynn Lobash, pleasure talking with you. Lynn Lobash, manager of reading services at the New York Public Library. And before I let you go, one of our listeners on Twitter reminds me that the Lions' names are Patience and Fortitude, the Lions outside the main building on Fifth Avenue. Is that correct? Patience and Fortitude?
That is correct. Yeah. And there's a really great like little New York secret about how you can tell which one is which, because Fortitude is close to 42nd Street and Patience is close to 40th Street. So if you think of Fortitude as 42, then you'll always know which one is which.
That is corny and delightful. Thanks so much, Lynn Lobash. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.